The Quincy Historical Society is kicking off their Quincy 400 events this week on a Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Their inaugural event called the Quincy Historical Society's Birdmen Over Boston Harbor. It's the 1910 Harvard-Boston Aero Meet. It's a book launch, and you know who. Wayne Miller, local historian, has put together this publication about this historical event that happened back in 1910. So we're here with Wayne, but also with Alexandra Elliott, the director of the Historical Society, to tell us more about what's happening this week and this year. So Alexandra and Wayne, welcome, both of you.
Hi, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you here. So this is the inaugural event, Alexandra, for
this
Quincy 400?
Yep, for the Historical Society's programming for Quincy 400. Yes, no, we... Wayne's came to us last year saying that he should have the book ready in time for the spring, and this will be a fantastic event and topic to kick the year off for our celebration. So we're very excited.
Yeah, that's very good. So why now, and why this particular topic for Quincy 400?
Well, it's a subject that really hasn't been devoted a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And it actually is something that Quincy has yet another claim to fame to. It was, you know, a really huge event in the very, very early history of aviation, and it really was rather significant. You know, as Wayne will get into, it's the first time that people in New England are seeing people fly.
Right.
So it was a big deal, and you know, and since it hasn't received a lot of attention in the past, we wanted to make sure that it got its fair dues.
It's really true, isn't it, when you hear about Quincy, obviously shipbuilding and the granite industry and Howard Johnson's, you know, and Dunkin' Donuts, but flying?
I know.
Aviation?
I know. Yeah. You wouldn't think. But
no.
But it turns out that this area was absolutely perfect for, you know, the purposes of this aero meet.
Absolutely, yeah. So, Wayne, tell me a little bit about your inspiration for putting this book together, first of all. Why?
Well, I've always, I've always had an interest in aviation.
Really?
In the 1970s, I saw the SST before just about anybody in America had seen it fly.
The SST?
I was at the airport in JFK.
Yep.
And it had only been flying for a month or so. And I could hear the roar of the plane. It was just incredible. The windows started shaking in the terminal building.
What's the SST?
The Concorde.
Oh, the Concorde.
Yeah.
Okay.
The supersonic transport.
Ah.
And the rush of the people towards the windows was just incredible.
Yep.
It was like a sea of people. Just they had to see it.
It was a new era in aviation at that time, right?
Yeah.
It's funny, it has since been retired.
It was going, it looked like a rocket ship on wheels.
Sure.
It was just incredible.
Yeah.
The noise. And when it took off, it only took like 20 seconds.
Yes.
It was so fast.
Yeah.
And I was just captivated by that.
That got you thinking.
Yeah. So, okay. I've been interested in aviation for quite a while.
Are you a pilot, or have?
No, I was never a pilot. I started collecting postcards of the early aviators and the airplanes.
Yep.
About 15 years ago.
Okay.
And it's something I really enjoyed seeing. You know, those primitive airplanes.
Yeah.
With open air cockpits and so. That's kind of the genesis of it.
I
found out about this air meet, I guess it's around 2009.
Okay,
when,
it's been a while.
Yeah, I joined the Quincy Historical Society, and I thought it was just so cool because I grew up right near Wollaston Beach, and tens of thousands of people gathered at the beach to see the airplanes for free.
Yes.
They didn't even have to pay the dollar at Aviation Field, which was in Squantum.
So this was in 1910?
Yeah, it was in September, the first 2 weeks of 1910.
For 2 weeks? Okay.
Yep. It was quite a long event.
Yeah.
It went from the 13th to the 16th. It was 2 weeks.
And do you know about how many folks participated, and you know how many aircraft participated, or
well,
pilots?
Well, there were the Wright airplanes.
Really?
You know, Wilbur Wright was there.
Really?
Glenn Curtis came. So the two main manufacturers in the United States.
Yes.
And then there were some French aircraft that were there. The monoplane, the Blériot monoplane.
Okay.
And the Farman biplane. So there were there were at least four different airplanes, and then there was another monoplane that was built by Curtiss. So there were quite a variety of airplanes.
And why was it called the Harvard-Boston Aeroleague?
Well, that's because Harvard University was the organizer of the event.
I see, okay. Yeah. Interesting. And I understand the President of the United States?
Yeah, President William Howard Taft came on one day.
Really?
And he brought his whole family, including his young boy who was about 12. He just loved it. He had to look at all the different airplanes.
Yeah.
He begged his father to stay for another hour, but President Taft said, we got to go in about 10 minutes. But, yeah, they spent, I think, about an hour and a half at the meet. Yeah, that was a big day. It was a beautiful weather day.
Yeah.
There were probably 30,000 people at the field.
Wow.
In the grandstands. And
so where exactly was the field? Where was the runway?
Yeah, if you go to East Quantum, you go down the Quincy Shore Drive, you turn right at East Quantum Street, and then you would turn left at Victory Road, mm-hmm. as you're going into
Marina Bay now.
Yeah, Marina Bay today. And the entrance was about 200-300 yards in.
Oh, okay.
And they rented the entire western side of Squantum, which was called New Squantum back then on the maps. It was 500 acres.
Really?
There was nothing there. There was no building.
Right.
There were a few small brush trees and that they had to clear, to build a runway and the grandstands.
Just for this event?
Just for the event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. It was a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
Quincy had to bring in all sorts of materials to widen the roads down there because there was a sea of people that came. They had a parking area for 1,000 vehicles.
I see. Wow.
So
folks came from all
over. Actually, where Marina Bay is today is where the parking area was.
Now, are there any remnants of the airfield left today?
No, absolutely nothing.
It's all gone.
As a matter of fact, I was there last Sunday with my wife just to look around. But
yes.
No, there's nothing.
No. And is there any kind of commemoration, a plaque? Or
I didn't see anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
There's a little bit out at Squantum Point Park. There's some of those inscriptions in the stones.
Oh, there are.
And so there is one that does talk about the aero meet.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, Wayne, what actually happened at an aero meet?
Was it a race, a competition?
Oh,
it was. Yeah, well, what set it apart from an exhibition was that they had actual contests. The pilots would be competing against other pilots in different events. Like they had a speed contest, which was the fastest around the pylons. They set up six pylons around the field, and it was 1 3/4 miles around, and so they had to go three laps. So it was 5 1/4 miles.
In a plane?
In an airplane.
Okay.
As fast as they could, and the winning time was 50 some miles an hour. So it took about 6 minutes.
Wow.
To fly 5 1/4 miles. So they were going pretty fast even in 1910.
Yes.
They had only been flying for basically 2 years. The Wright brothers were the first to fly in December of 1903, but it took almost 5 years before a pilot could actually fly an airplane in a circle. Because when the Wright brothers flew, they only flew in a straight line.
And
then it crash landed.
Yeah. That's how they stopped, right?
So they had to develop controls.
Yeah.
Where the plane could be banked to the left and the right.
I see.
So,
okay.
So they'd only been flying, realistically, for a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
And the first aero meet was in Los Angeles, and the Harvard-Boston meet was only the second air meet in the United States.
Wow.
Which was in September of 10. Los Angeles was in January.
Okay. Of that same year?
That was the same year.
Okay.
And then New York followed in October.
Okay.
So those were the big three.
1910, that was a big year for aviation.
Yeah, and then 1911, the Harvard people ran it again. Mm-hmm. And after 11, they dropped out. The attendance had dropped dramatically because everybody had seen an airplane.
Oh, big deal.
It was no big deal
airplanes,
anymore.
Airplanes, right, yeah.
In 1912, another promoter came in and ran it and called it the Boston Aviation Meet.
Okay.
And then there was an accident there that killed two people. to the pilot and the promoter of the event. He died as well. Oh. So that ended all the air meets.
That was Quimby. At Squantum, right?
Yes.
Harry
yeah.
Quimby.
Yes. Yeah, it was yeah. In the Squantum section.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yeah. I think Alexandra, correct me if I'm wrong. There is a commemoration for her.
There is, yeah, yeah. In Squantum Point Park as
yes,
well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. But this was. I mean, I kind of equate this to. I don't know. I guess the moon launch in 1969 had that same kind of appeal because it was a first.
Yeah. There were thousands of people in boats in the. Dorchester Bay, Quincy Bay,
sure,
all the way through Boston Harbor, watching the airplanes.
Yes, fall. Yes.
And thousands of people on the beaches.
So did winners get money? Was it for cash prizes?
Yeah, there were cash prizes. There was $10,000
wow.
for one prize. Some of them were $5,000. That was an enormous sum of money. $10,000 and 1910 is like 337,000 today.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so there were some huge prizes. And the Harvard people raised the money from local businesses to provide the prize money.
Do you think if it weren't for Harvard, it would have happened here? Probably.
No, I'm convinced it wouldn't
probably
have
Probably not,
happened.
Yeah. I mean, LA, New York, Quincy.
Well, Quincy wasn't the first choice, but it ended up in Quincy.
Oh, interesting.
Because they needed more space. The first place they chose was out of the area, and then the second place they chose was it where the Harvard Stadium is in Alston.
Yes.
They determined that was too small.
Sure. Yeah.
So then they finally chose Quincy.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we only have the ocean, so it's unlimited, right?
Yeah, well, it was a perfect place to have it, really. Yeah. It was isolated. There were no buildings around.
Yes, yeah.
It was just a great place to have it.
So was that the beginnings of the Denison Airport?
It was basically a decade.
Yeah, afterwards, right?
Okay. Right.
But it had been established as a place for aviation. So Quincy really made its mark in that role, anyway. So tell me about the book. It's Birdman Over Boston Harbor.
Yeah, Birdman Over Boston
The 1910 Harvard-Boston Aeromeet. Yeah, there it is. When did you start it? When did you finish it? And how did you research it?
I started at the end of 2023.
Okay.
And I finished it towards the end of 2024.
Okay.
And then I submitted it to the Quincy Historical Society, and they reviewed it, and we made adjustments,
yes.
corrections.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just got it back from the printer Saturday.
Okay.
So
filled with photographs, I'm assuming. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah. What's great about it is there are over 80 photographs.
Wow.
And they're all from different types of places. The Boston Globe had photographs every day.
Yeah, hold that up, Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The Boston Globe had photographs every day. Their photographer was Anthony J. Philpott, and he was a staff photographer as well as a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he, when he died, his collection of photographs was donated to Wright State University in Ohio. And so there's several dozen photographs there, which I had access to. Mm. I got permission.
Yeah.
And the Quincy Historical Society had photographs, Harvard University, Scientific American. And there were about 40 postcards that were sold at the meet, the official photographer.
Oh, I see.
And so there was a huge resource for an author
to be
able to weave the photographs in with the text.
So how is it told? Is it a story? Is it narrated?
Well, it's a true story.
No, obviously,
it's
not. More of an
account. It's actually an account of how the whole thing came about.
I see. Okay.
And Harvard's participation, and then I go into each day of the meet. So, it actually goes from day one of the meet on September 3 until it ends.
Oh, very good. Okay.
And then there's an aftermath where I. I talk about what happened to the aviators after they left Quincy, which is kind of interesting.
Were there any from Quincy? I mean, I know Harry Quimby, but were there any from actually from Quincy? Maybe Alexander, you know.
Not in the 1910
no.
Air
Meet. Okay.
No, we didn't start having really good aviators until a couple years later.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
when
right.
they started being able to train out here with Denison and
everything. Yeah. So interesting. So tell me about the presentation on Thursday evening, 7 p.m. at the Adams Academy, Quincy Historical Society. What are you going to be talking about, Wayne?
Well, I have a slide presentation.
Oh, okay. Great. Great.
There's over 30 slides.
Excellent.
And I'll be talking about pretty much what's in the book, but I won't be giving away all the great details.
This is a little tease,
Who won the contest.
Right.
We'll keep that for the people who want to buy the book. But I'll be talking about the various contests and some of the important people that came. So that's what I'll be doing.
Okay. And were the pilots really called Bergmen?
Well, in 1909, 1910.
Yeah.
Time period, the newspaper men would spice up the headlines. They'd say birdmen flying today, birdmen doing.
Okay.
So
right.
it was a term that was widely used in 1910.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't make it up.
Okay.
But it was a very popular term. And I just thought the alliteration sounded good to me, birdmen over Boston Harbor.
Yeah. So. Neat. And you'll be, I'm assuming, signing books afterwards?
Yes, we'll be selling the books, and I'll be signing.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So, Alexandra, when you first kind of reviewed this, what were your thoughts?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's such a great story, and there's so many interesting tidbits in there about, you know, some kind of obscure Quincy history and... just some of the really charming and interesting stories about the pilots and the kind of antics they got up to while they were in town. And there's some really good nuggets in here.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good tease.
Oh, yeah. I hesitate to, I don't want to step on Wayne's toes, but there are some genuinely funny moments where I laughed out loud as I was reading
it. Wow. Okay. There's a great review.
Yeah. there's a lot of really interesting little pieces in here.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in Quincy history, this really is a great intro to something that not a lot of people have talked about yet.
No, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised to learn it was a 2-week event. So, obviously there were a whole influx of people that came to this area for a long time, and they had a lot of downtime, right? Mm-hmm. And they had to stay somewhere during that time. So it really probably engulfed the lives of Quincy for quite a while.
It absolutely did. I think people were opening their homes to let people stay.
Yeah.
I think, they were renting out rooms. They were, cooking meals and selling them on
right.
the...
Right.
Yeah. So the whole town really got into it as a bit of an opportunity.
The backstory
yes.
of it all. Yeah. So again, it is Bergmen over Boston Harbor, the 1910 Harvard-Boston Aero Meet book launch and presentation by our esteemed author, historian Wayne Miller, Thursday, March 6, 7 p.m. at the Adams Academy. The inaugural event for Quincy 400 for the Historical Society.
Absolutely.
Alexandra. Anything else we can talk about for Quincy 400?
Sure, yeah. So next month, we've got a very exciting event coming up on April 24th. We have Leanne Brandon coming to the Historical Society. She is a trailblazing filmmaker in documentary filmmaking, founded a, I think it's called New Day Pictures. I apologize if that's not the right one.
Okay.
But founded a production company for independent films. And she was, in the 60s, happened to be a teacher at North Quincy High School, teaching English.
Okay.
So she cut her teeth here in Quincy and was actually the audiovisual club head, teacher liaison for the students. So we're going to be showing two of her, the student films that she supervised.
Nice.
So kind of showing some nostalgic views of Quincy in the 60s.
Neat.
And
yeah.
doing kind of like a Q&A and hoping it will be a little bit of a reunion for her and some of her students and colleagues that might still be in the area.
Yeah.
And then we're also working on a refresh of our core exhibit. And I'm actually working on a book for this year as well about the Howard Johnson's Corporation, which is turning 100 this year. So we've got a lot going on.
I would say, yeah. And you can probably see all that and more on your newly revamped website.
On our newly revamped website,
that's
correct. Yes,
quincyhistory.org.
That is correct.
All right. Anything else we share with folks right now? Come enjoy.
We're
special.
Excited.
Yep, special one night price for $20 on Thursday.
Okay. And Wayne, it sounds like this would appeal certainly to aviation enthusiasts, but also just Quincy folks who are interested in the history of the city.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Both groups of people, I think, would enjoy the book.
Yeah. I hope you have a great event.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by to share a little bit with us.
Thanks, Joe.
You're very welcome. And thanks for watching us here at AEM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. See you next time.